So we haven't put kusha by peah. So the halacha by peah is you leave the corner of the field, or the last of the field, you leave over for the honey. Or similarly, by a tree, you're cutting down your olive tree, or you're taking the produce from an olive tree, or a series of olive trees, you don't totally destroy the tree, but you leave some for the honey. So the way the Gemara says it is, lo safar ach racha, means you don't remove the beauty. You don't remove the beauty. There's a beauty of an olive tree, and you don't fully remove the beauty. But what do? You leave it for the honey to fully remove the beauty. Right? So he said it's a funny limud, because if it's saying it's always interested in the beauty of the tree, and I understand, say that you have to leave the tree, no one destroys the beauty of the tree, keep it up. But it's not true, it's just saying give it to the honey. It's nothing to do with beauty, it would seem to be the manas kuna. That you give the manas on him, you give him, you let him have some of the produce. So why, what's the sense of the limud of, don't totally remove the beauty? What does that have anything to do with beauty? Right? That's the problem. I guess this is Yudas Svara, and I guess Daniel's saying similar. Is that there's a beauty in trees, and nature, and fruit, and stuff like that, right? There's a beauty. And the Torah holds that you shouldn't just really destroy beauty. It's part of the Bria or something like that. You shouldn't just totally wipe out the beauty of your field or whatever. Right? But, and that's what I'm saying is, don't say, I need all the money I can get, every last drop, and I'm going to destroy the beauty. You should realize, look, it's true you have a right to ownership, but at the same time, leave some of the beauty. The honey, you give it to the honey, the whole thing is leave the honey, he's going to destroy the beauty. So it says, yeah, that sorach of the honey is a matir for to destroy the beauty of the field. And it's only that, it's not the last drop, but there's like a quality of a barren field. And I guess that's what Daniel's saying. It's like the... It's like still there's some fruit, but when it's barren, like the last drop, it's like totally depletes the field. So that's like totally undermines the beauty of it. So the saying is the matir to do that is the tzor halani. The usher isn't allowed to do that. Right. So that's what it means. Lo safar achar. You can't destroy it. As an owner, you have a right to take the fruit, but you don't have the right to destroy the beauty. To completely get rid of the beauty. But the honey, leaving the honey, he does have a right to, because he needs it. You don't need it. You have a whole thing. He needs it. Right. It's a good question. The honey has to leave pay also. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that later. The only sikasha I'm saying is it turns out the mitzvah of pay, it's not essentially a manas aniyam. It's essentially then that you don't want to destroy beauty. And practically speaking, the honey has a matir to do it. So... But the essence of the thing isn't really a matana taniyam. The essence of the thing is an isser of the beauty. And the matir, which Ani has, which you don't have. So he ends up getting it. Which is okay. It just seems to be taking it as a normal, plain interpretation of peah. Which, we don't really know, given that we don't know that much about peah, it's, not necessarily a problem. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Another question, I think it's a fair question. It's a highly interesting question, that what's the deal that if you say the whole thing is really just that you're not allowed to destroy the field, and the matir, unless you're poor, and that's a matir to destroy the field, then if you yourself are an ani, you should be able to take the payah. But that's not true. An ani has to, even an ani, we'll get to that, but even an ani has to leave payah. Right? So if you would have learned that halacha is it's a matana, so you say you can't give matana to yourself. Essence of pay is a matana to an EM, you can't give it a matana to yourself. But if the essence is you're not allowed to destroy the field, and then Ani could destroy it because he's in need, so then you say, well, I'm an Ani, so I should be able to take it. So I should have a need. Yeah. But again, there's a havamina like that and he doesn't have to do it. So, maybe you can work something out, But it's something that would have to be explained. Something like this. Something with some shot and beauty. Something is like, something's funny about the, rainforests. The Torah protecting the rainforests, so the beauty of the, whatever. It's trees. And in Torah, you're allowed to eat trees, and you're allowed to kill animals. And, the Torah doesn't have this naturalistic kind of thing. that we can't destroy all the tree. Now look, you'll take the trees, all the olives from an olive tree, and then they'll grow back next year. You know, what's the idea? So it's beautiful, and Torah Nidon's beautiful. Anyways, how beautiful is the field if you have a little of olives on the edge of the fir tree? I mean, it's not going to look that symmetric or anything, you know? So, you know, even though it sounds like it's saying that, it's something funny about, you know, you never really heard a Talmud Mitzvah like that before. I don't think I have. You know, the beauty of the nature and all that. First thing like that, okay? It's also a little loose. I mean, the problem is it says beauty, so whatever you're going to say is going to have to sound a little fluffy, whatever, you know? But I think there is a different kind of a beauty in a field, which is, it's like a psychological beauty. The beauty of which a businessman understands. The beauty that there's something, the idea of like the psychological experience of having like a field or an orchard where you could just go and take food from. It's something like it's an experience that that not sure could have, and only can really have. But like for instance, you just go to your tree and take an apple off and eat it. You know, like I don't know if you've ever eaten like a fresh apple. There's an idea of like you have a field that just has food. Like, you don't have to go to the store. You don't have to totally. It's just like there. There's a harvest, and there's just food waiting to be had. You know, there's something there's a beauty to that. Because beauty means it's like that's an unbelievable thing for a person to be able to experience. And like the idea of harvesting your thing, there's like, and that's part of the simcha of Sukkot, really, right? The Chag Asif. You're gathering in all the stuff. You have fields of great stuff. And that's part of the idea of, that's why there's a guy who'll say Kochi Otun Yadiyah Salias, I made all this great stuff. There's the field is like an unbelievable experience of being able to harvest your field and to take in your orchard or your vines, you know? Right? The experience. It's beautiful. Right? Now what it's saying is don't fully use up that experience. But like an ani who doesn't have a field or whatever, an ani doesn't get that experience, so to speak. He's deprived of that. He never has that experience. For him, he just gets food, you know, on his plate, you know, in the tzedakah box or whatever, you know. But there's something about that experience that it's saying is, don't totally remove the beauty of your tree, but let the ani have that experience. Let him go up to the tree and harvest it and take off the fruit, or go to the field and, like, so to speak, act like a farmer to be able to just cut off his thing and make bread. It's one thing to have like stuff on the floor, dried up, whatever. There's an idea of like a field that you could let him. He could like so to speak act like a Baal, and on a field, and let him have the experience of harvesting a field, you know. And that's it's not the aesthetic beauty. It's like the psychological beauty. And the saying is, don't totally destroy that, but leave that over. Yeah, you could do it. You could be the Baal, and you could, that's part of the right of a Baal. You're the Baal of the field. You get to have that. But leave some of that over for the Ami. Let him, you walk away from the field, let him be the Baal for the last corner of the field or whatever. I'm saying it's not just that he needs to eat, because he needs to eat, there's other types of matanos. It's like hidden shechacha and whatever. But there's an idea is that since there's a beauty in the field, the idea is that you're giving that beauty to him. So it's not just a matter of food. That's what I'm saying. It's like part of, there's an ozin. Deal with an ani. Yeah, there's an ani. There's more than just an ani is more than just the money. There's a psychological idea of an ani. There's like the part of being an ani is impoverished psychologically. He loses it out on the fine things in life. He misses out on the beautiful experiences of life. It's not just a matter of he needs food. It's true, he needs food. And you give him a 10% of it, whatever. But there's something, there's more to it. There's something more to it, which is there's something about the experience of going out to the field and just taking in the produce and bringing in your food. And that's a psychological enjoyment, not just the physical enjoyment of eating the food. Yeah, eat food. Everyone can eat food. Anyone can eat food, you can eat food. But there's a beauty to that experience. And an ani doesn't have that. Doesn't have that enjoyment. He doesn't have that experience. He doesn't have the face of that beauty. He doesn't have it because he doesn't have a field and he's poor. But it's saying is, the mitzvah is you don't totally remove the beauty, but you leave some of that for him. You let leave that for him to be able to partake. And that's the nature of the mitzvah. It's different than other matanos. Other matanos is just you give him some food, so you give him two or three things that fall on the floor, or you leave a bundle on the floor, you let him take it. But this is an idea. It's like you're not just leaving the field and letting him take it. It's his little corner, his little spot where he's doing, he has the beauty. The beauty is left over for him. Yeah, I'd say the pro and con of this far here is that on the one hand, it's a looser interpretation of beauty. It's not the simple reading of what beauty means. Beauty sounds like aesthetic. But, beauty is a loose term. It's kind of hard to, But I think what's better about it is that it gets down to the core of matanos. It's like it's showing the nature of this manasaniyam. It's essentially a manasaniyam idea. It's not tovos and alabayos. Well, you're not giving it to him even. You're gone. You're out of there. Tazel vosom. It's an aziva. You leave it. You leave it. I mean, it could be the other ones are also similar. Have this idea part of it. It's like you're not just my ceremony is you give him. He's a poor guy and you give him money. That's one type of a thing. There's a different thing is letting him, letting him be the guy. An analogy. It's not the same thing, but like. It would be like if you wanted to give a poor person stuff, so you have to give him food. So you do is you could just give him like a nice meal, even a nice fancy meal, whatever it is, or you could like get him a gift certificate to go to Prime Grill, the fancy restaurant. So what's the job? Because it's not just the food. There's a certain psychology of being able to go to a nice restaurant. And then he doesn't have that. It's not just that you give him Prime Grill food takeout. But he'll have the same nourishment. But part of being an Oni is the psychological dimension to it. There are experiences that Ashirim have that Aniyim are deprived of. So let him go to the restaurant for one night. Let him have that experience and enjoyment. He'll enjoy it. It's a beautiful experience of being able to go to a restaurant and have someone serving you. And, there's a thing. It's a nice place and there's music and there's this. There's a whole thing which goes into it. So it's part of the thing is the catering to the psychological Oni. Not just to say, okay, here's some meat. Yeah, I need it. It's different. So the thing is, that's true. There is matanos, which just give him money. Just give him produce. Here's the wheat. But there's another thing, is you basically let him act like a baal. Let him go out to the field. Let him bring an axe, a hatchet, whatever they use. And then take the food, and take the fruit, and be like, there's a beauty to that experience. I'm just saying, maybe. Not sure about this, but maybe it's better. It's good that it taught you this idea by the Elon, as opposed to by a Sada, because by a tree, by a fruit, you have this experience even more so, because the fruit is ready to eat, as opposed to like by a field, by wheat. So you have to process it. So the experience isn't as full. Like you pick an apple and just take a bite out of it. It's like it's much more. It's more appropriate to. It's also by a field, but it's a better place to teach it. The problem is that olive, it may not be the best example, because olives you have to, you don't really eat the olives plain, you just make them into oil. But it's still, you can just make them into oil, squeeze them. It's not like a whole thing like wheat where you have to really do a whole stew with the boss. Yeah, actually, another question about an Ani himself, so it says, look, if you're an Ani, and you have a field, and insofar as you're having a field, you're getting that field, and you're enjoying the beauty of the fields. And then maybe you're an Ani, and you don't have food, or whatever. You're a poor guy, but you have a field, and you need to be this field. You're having that experience. So now he's saying is leave it for other guys to have. Only thing is, I don't know, this is not halacha. There's no halacha that the only Aniyim who can take from pay are people who don't own any fields. But that's like already not a kind of an Ani. You can say that's not like it's no kind of an Ani. It's for the Aniyim, so. Doesn't mean like once you took from one field now you enjoyed that experience. And actually how long you can't afford to do that.
It sounds like not a halakha.
But the idea though is like an Ani also doing it because look, even though you're an Ani, you may be poor, but you're experiencing that vis-a-vis this field. So you own the field and it's a halakha on a field owner, on a landowner, a guy who has a field. Don't completely take that beauty. Leave that for other people for any of them.
Does that mean a definition?
Next thing is that we have certain of these manasaniyam are halacha vaziva, which means you leave it for him. I mean, you can't pick and say, "Oh, you Ani, you got my payah, you got my lakah, you got my shechah." You have to leave it. Leave what you drop, leave what you forgot, leave the corner. So leaving it. But then, matnasaniya, maisaroni. Maisaroni is not that way. Maisaroni, you bring it to your house, and then you take 10%, and you give it to the ani of your choice. And, because there, the halacha is nesina. It's not aziva, but it's nesina. Nesina means you give, so you get started to give it to, but aziva means no, you just leave it. So you want to know if we could just define the difference between those two matanos. Simply, is that, by the Tazov, the Torah is saying is that don't exercise bailus on these things. As it's saying is you're the owner of the field, but on certain parts of your field, don't act like a baal. Leave it for the aniyim. They'll be the baal. Okay? Baalim normally take all their stuff. The baal, it's yours. Technically, you own it. You own everything. But don't exercise your bailus. Okay? Let them exercise the bailus. Let them pick it. Let them pick it up. Let them harvest it. It's more telling you to sit down. Okay? You're not involved. Let them be the bailus. In Maisaroni, you do exercise your bailus. You harvest the stuff. But then it's saying is give of your bailus to them. Do an asina. It means you're the baal, you harvest it, you act like a baal. But now transfer your bailus to them. The first one is don't be like a baal altogether. Just don't exercise, don't act like a baal. It's yours, pretend like it's not yours. Let them. The other one is no, it is yours. But give it to them. Gift it to them. It's a different type of idea. Different idea in terms of what a person does. One thing is, and psychologically it's different for different experiences. One thing is basically, you have to pretend like it's not yours. Just leave it be. Another thing is, no, you did the work. You did. It's yours. But you're actively then giving it to somebody else. Two different types of demand that Torah is making on the person. And one is aziva. So aziva is like just leaving it. Just leave it be. Slow walk away. But then nesina is like an active giving. Giving of your thing. You're not walking away. You're taking it in. You're harvesting it. You're doing all the work. But then you're giving it. You know, they're just two different, different mitzvahs, different types of mitzvahs. Since there's a certain control you have in giving something. Like a person likes to feel like he's giving. It's like, on the one hand, it's a certain, there's a control that you have in giving, and like leaving it fallow, it's like, you just have to walk away. There's a certain pain, right? That's a hard thing to do. It's my field. I'm just walking, let him be the baal. Giving, at least like I am the gracious donor, I have a big smile, On the other hand, there's a certain thing about actually taking your money and handing it to him. It's a different experience psychologically of actually taking $100 and giving it to the guy versus just letting, just whatever, it's not mine. They're different. They're different experiences. And then the scene of they're different. And presumably they're different for the ani also. I mean, there's just different types of giving that, different types of giving. It's almost like, I don't know if this is exactly the same, but it's like if you have like a portion of your paycheck go siphoned off to some charity fund or something like that. It's like, it's not like you're giving them. I mean, it kind of is you're giving them, but it's like, it's not mine. It's not mine. Yeah, right, like Social Security or something. Like part of your thing. It's not your money. It's not, look, it's going to support other people, it's other people. It's not mine. It's like, it's not even yours. Versus where you take the thing out of your bank account and you take it and hand it to somebody. They're different. They're two different types of gifts, types of taxes, types of... Okay, so then the one last thing we had is what's the havimus kind of whether ani has to give to another ani. Is an ani chayev or not in these things? So you think not, kamashmalan yes. Right? So what's the havimus kind of? And so this is what I'm thinking. We have to think about it some more. But is the mitzvah halacha that aniyim have a zechus in the field? Is it pshat Torah gives a zechus of aniyim in corners of the fields? And in lekat and shechah. So then you say, look, I'm an ani, so I have a zechus. So an ani, the whole halacha is the Torah created a zechus of mammon in the fields, and then an ani he can do exercise himself, so there's no idea of doing it, there's no mitzvah, because he's an ani. Or do you say it's like a maisa of aziva, or a maisa of nesina? It's like a Torah set up, a mitzvah of a nesina. If it's a mitzvah, then just like any other mitzvah, tayag, ani, machayav, just like a shirim, so the mitzvah is to give it. So you can't give it to yourself, it doesn't make sense to give it to yourself. Again, but if it was just the din of a zechus, then you could say you have the zechus. You are the guy who has the zechus. So I, what am I doing? I'm not doing anything. It's not a, it's not really an active mitzvah. It's din of a v'schus mama. Right? As we said, by going, no, v'kohanim, it's a day of v'schus mama, so no, that's why I find a kohen. So it would seem that the kohen could also take, it doesn't take himself. There's no idea of a matan if you're a kohen. But saying it's a mitzvah, so then you say everyone's chayv in mitzvah. The question we just raised, I have to look into, is would you say safek, if it's a safek matzav of raya? Because if it's a din mama, then you say that makes sense. But if you say it's a ma'isa mitzvah now, so then you say if it's a safek, then you should say so the rest of the chumra. So I don't know, I want to look at that case there. Yeah, he was asking if you say it's chutz mamon taniyim, so then he's going to get it. So then let's say some other ani comes and gets it first. So would you say that's fine because it's chutz taniyim and he just happens to be another ani? It would seem to be a zili potter. It's not pshat that he's chayev, but he himself can get it. But it could just be if it's chutz mamon, then he's under his control. So that's it. It could be he like already has come at it. Like it's, he doesn't have to go and pick it up. It could be it's already. It's I don't know. Let's think about it. Let's think about it. It's a good question. Do this the next week, I guess we'll try to do this, try to knock this part off, and then the next part in the Gemara is it's about the Ma'aser Rishon, whether a Kohanim got Ma'aser Rishon. So it's the Gemara on Yevamos. Our Gemara quotes it. So Yevamos, Peivav, I think it's on the base. I just looked at it this morning. It's on, it's like not, yeah, I think it's on the base. So it says I'm an Aleph, but I think the explanation there is Peivav on the base or Peizayin on Aleph. If you can't find it, let me know. Okay.